Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Alex.
And I'm Lizzie.
And we have our special, special guest, Chris from Cyclops Showdown.
What's going on?
Bells and whistles.
What's up, everybody?
So, Chris, since you are our guest, welcome to our craziness, our frumily, so to speak.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
First, why don't you tell everybody, before we get started, let's just do a couple of housekeeping things. This is the What Is From cast, and we are going to be talking season three, episode four. They're in back again, and as we told everybody, Sunday is From Day, and if you could, if to hit that subscribe button right on the bottom, right or left, depending on what you're doing, and before we get into all the other particulars, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your project is, which is Song Swope Showdown, as well as what's on that hat.
Yeah. And
go for it. Tell us everything.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on today, guys. This is great. I stayed up a little because usually I watch From and then I go to bed because, well, I try to watch you guys. Actually, last week I had it on and I wound up, unfortunately, I didn't make it through the whole thing because this is what happens. But tonight I got my hot tea going and my Twin Peaks mug, and I am rocking and rolling and ready to go. But yeah, I am the co-host of Song Swap Showdown, and we are a weekly music throwdown show. Me and my co-host Amanda Sharp each swap three songs with each other that we may or may not have heard before, and we rate those songs on a scale of 1 to 5 records, with 1 being a skip of a song. That's skip it. We don't ever want to hear it again. All the way up to 5 records, which is what we say is heavenly music to our ears. That's going on our Eternity playlist. And we pick the songs based on spinning a wheel of themes at the end of every single episode. So whatever that lands on determines what we're going to be picking the songs about. The show is live every Monday at 8:15 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and then anywhere you get podcasts afterwards. And we also stream live as well on Radio Garden State, which is what's on top of my head. So on top of being the host and producer of Song Swap Showdown, co-host of Song Swap Showdown, I also host a weekly morning show on Radio Garden State, which could be heard on RadioGardenState.com Tuesday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where it's me hosting the morning show, spinning tunes. I also do a hardcore show on Thursday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. as well. So I am fairly active when it comes to podcasting and being on the air pretty much every day. Thank God I get weekends off a little bit, although I'm not off this weekend. So, hey, here I am.
Well, that's awesome. And I have to just acknowledge one person. My daughter is into lacrosse, and she's doing a lacrosse camp or clinic this week or every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to this one parent and this other, and the parent's like, I think my husband likes the show. And I finally get to talk to him, and son of a gun, he's here, he's on. So I'm actually seeing some of our listeners. And I'm like, just say, you're the lacrosse. I know you're from lacrosse. So
IRL.
Say thank you so much. And again, let's get into this craziness
Wow.
that we all from. And Chris, how did you find the show, first off?
You know, it's one of those things where I saw it come up on because at the time, like, Prime wasn't even doing the MGM. I don't know. Somehow I was watching MGM Plus, and I was watching something else already on MGM Plus, and it came up as a recommendation. So I was like, well, let me watch the trailer. So, you know, I watched a little trailer, and I said, let me give this a try. So I watched the first episode by myself, and I said, holy cow, this show's crazy.
And that first episode is not easy.
No, it was like, what is this? So I was like, you know what? Because my wife and I, we watch a lot of shows together. And I was like, this is something I feel like she's going to want to watch with me. So I said, well, let me watch this. So I rewatched it with her, and I got her hooked. And then so we both watched season one and then season two all the way through, because it was already on there. So we just went back to back seasons. And then we were like, oh my God, how long is it going to be till season three comes out? And because we had finished all that, I believe, I think, what was it, season one and season two? I think that was at the start of this year, where we kind of cruised through everything, I believe. And then it was like, oh man, I can't wait. When are you going to do season three? So we kept waiting to see when they were going to do the release date.
All I know is it's nice to actually podcast with somebody that I've actually met. Not that I don't love Lizzie, who's right next to me, but it's just kind of weird. It's just kind of weird to actually like know the person that I've actually met. Like, I knew you before this.
Yeah.
With that being said, I know Lizzie's.
Oh my God. I'm going to go grab Charlotte off the couch so I can say the same thing.
So before I get myself in trouble, let me ask Lizzie, what were your first thoughts of this episode?
I have to say that after the previous episode, I could not wait to see what happened. And it exceeded every possible expectation I could have had. It was just amazing. Amazing. I loved the tension, the fear. I'm really, not that I wasn't before, but I am really getting concerned. Very, very concerned.
And what about
the girl,
what about
Donna, you, not doing so good?
Yeah, no, our people are not doing so well. Chris, what was your first thoughts of this episode?
Yeah, first thoughts on this was, it was definitely nice, because I love how so far they've paced it. You know, last episode was very much up until like the end, you know, where we had the big shock of the car accident, and then, you know, and then obviously the cliffhanger ending of being like, oh my God, we're back to Frumtown. But I like that this really ratcheted up the tension. Like, this turned it up. There was a lot going on. They cut between all the different storylines really well. And I loved it. Like Lizzie was saying, the tension was great. And I love that. And so it was a great, so far I got to say the pacing of this season is very good. Like, I love the balance that they're doing, with this show, at least this season. Yeah.
You know, the one thing about this season that's really just messed up is these monsters are playing with their food.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And they are just doing so much psychological crap. I mean, we're going to talk about it. You know, it starts off right off the bat, and it ends with the same problems. And I'm going to tell you, they said, because when we talked to Harold and we talked to Liz Saunders, you know, they were not happy. I mean, they were happy about the work, but it was like, this is not fun. Like, there was no fun in Frumville. And it's just gone from bad to worse to whatever this is. So, Lizzie, why don't you start us off and tell us where you want to go?
All right. I'm going to work our way up to the arrival. Okay. So we're going to start with the Colony House. And Bacta is not playing very well with others. I don't think she's a good roommate. She refuses to pick up the dead bird, like, not pitching in. You know, well, she wants nothing to do with it. Huh?
Do you blame her?
Still, like, she's not pitching in, but then she shames Tilly for reading tarot cards in a place like this. Mm-hmm. Like,
again, I don't really...
And I have all my thoughts about Tilly, by the way. So I've got a lot of thoughts about her.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you don't go poking the bear.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't look at reading tarot cards as poking the bear, obviously.
Well, yeah, because you read them. But you know, folks, I mean, I feel the same way. She was a little standoffish. But at the same time, you have to remember, this was not like... days. This had just happened maybe a couple hours ago, and you're like, the bathroom girl's getting all pissed off, so we really don't give a shit about her. And, you know, the boy's got the friggin' bird right on his shirt, and it's dead right in front of him. So, you know.
Well, yeah, the one thing I thought was that...
Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was just going to say real quick. I mean, I think that she seems like somebody who's like really, obviously as Alex was saying, you know, so it just happened. I think she's really freaked out, and it may be that she's maybe a little superstitious or believes, you know, these kinds of things like the omens and things like that may really freak her out. And she's completely like way off, you know, and it's like, let alone dealing with monsters. And now, you know, we're doing tarot card readings, which is, seems to be like stirring the hornet's nest. And I think that it's just, you know, rocking the boat.
Well, you know what it could be? Just one thing, and I know Chris will appreciate this. It could be the man versus bear. Well, it's just an inside joke between us. But you were going to say, Lizzie, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we saw right off when Bhakta lands in front and she's facing off with Donna. Right. And it kind of surprised me that Bhakta went to Colony House, given that Donna is in control of Colony House. And they're both very strong personalities that I'm really surprised we haven't seen them facing off, you know, since in the 4 days or so that they've been there. So that's just all I have to say about Bhakta. And then moving over to the Matthews house.
Okay.
And everything that's going on there.
Yeah.
If you have any ringing sounds, like a telephone ring there, Chris, now's the time to play it.
I have four sounds. And I telephone ring is not one of them.
Yeah. So at any rate, we're over there and the phone rings and Ethan is in the kitchen by himself and he answers the phone. And it turns out it's Thomas. I really am impressed. Oh, please don't make me big. I don't even want to look at myself. I'm gonna just turn my camera off tonight. So he answers the phone and Thomas is on the other end of the phone.
Wow.
And what Thomas says makes me wonder about the motivation because I gotta think that Thomas is not there to be helpful.
You think?
That he's not calling to be helpful. But he tells them that Tabitha is going to be coming into town on an ambulance, which, you know, it's like if someone told me Santa Claus was going to land on my street tonight, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like mom is gone. They think she's dead. And all of a sudden, you know, he's saying this. So my question was, did Jim hear the phone ring? Because I'm thinking he didn't and just happened to walk in there. Because I don't think anyone heard the phone ring when Jim answered it. But still, you know, Thomas says to him, you know, Jim grabs the phone and tells Thomas to leave his children alone. And Thomas says, they're not your children anymore.
I know. What's that about?
Yeah, I feel like the voice or the entity, whatever, is this in this particular instance between the call from last week with Jim and this seems to be very trickster-ish. Like, seems to be trying to get them out of the house and into the woods. Or I don't know. There just seems to be
out in the street.
This whole, Yeah, exactly. This whole trickster thing, and that's what it's just what it feels like. And yeah, I don't think that Jim heard the phone ring in this instance. I think it was meant for Ethan.
Yo.
And then like what happened last week, it was meant for him.
I will say, you know, saying that, this just popped into my head, and I don't know what the people that are watching think about this. If you take that into account, the house is safe because of the talismans, and if they're together, they're a family.
Yeah.
Right.
As soon as they pull them apart, then we've got problems. And I think, you know, the good thing about this season, I think more than any other season, they're starting to talk to each other a lot more. And I think that's
Maybe
causing
that's
problems.
they've heard you complaining about it.
Well, you know what? I'm a little sick of it. And
Yeah.
you know, I think also the one thing, and we're going to talk about the end of the episode, Marielle, Julie, and Randall, they have a connection to whatever that entity is. But to, I
Yeah.
think it was John who said this. Wait, I got it. It's a great thing, and I posted it. You know, it's evil. Whatever Ethan was talking to is just evil. And, you know, it's like child's play or something. I mean, it's not very nice. And it's just pissing me off.
I don't like it either. And you know, I find I was it made sense when Jim didn't fall prey to it, you know, when
Right.
he was on the phone.
Right.
Jim is this practical engineer, you know, level-headed thinker. But I expected Ethan to get upset, and he didn't. So maybe he's taking after Dad.
Well,
But
it's so fucked up in this place. What else can go wrong?
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, but I, you know, again, just like the electrical wires, the phone is not attached to anything. It was just hanging on the wall like that cat clock, you know.
Right.
And I think all. And I think you guys already said it. They just wanted to get them out in the street. You know, like get them out in the street, be in danger. Because if they saw a vehicle coming into town at night, there might be one person that would go out, but not two kids and a dad. You know, but if they know mom is in there, they're going to go out.
Right.
So. After the arrival, Julie's looking out the window, you know, trying to see what's going on. And the main thing that comes out of that is that she confides in Ethan that she says she's really scared and she saw something, she saw things that she doesn't understand and that she can't remember. So in this episode, we've got you know, the three talking about that experience, and we're starting to you know, get images of what's going on, you know, because later in
I'll keep
oh,
going.
just shaking your head later in the bus, Randall talks about it as well. So, if you guys are ready, can we switch over to Victor and Sarah?
Well, my question for Chris and the audience and you too, Lizzie, do you think that they're on their way to becoming monsters?
I
It's
just
funny
made a
because I
video about
You did. Yeah, I
that.
made notes today because last week I started saying that to my wife. I said, I think that, you know, they're turning some of these people into monsters. And I wrote today about, well, I don't want to jump too far
I
ahead,
know,
but I
yeah,
had
when we
my
talked about Randall, yeah.
right when we talk about Randall. And also because there was a lot of foreshadowing in this, especially in the stuff in the bus and all that. We could talk more about it when we get there, but
No. And what's, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to cut
Oh
you
no,
off.
I was just gonna say, so I think that that is something that is going on, and it's interesting to see who is going to be. I mean, and are we looking, and is Randall red herring? So I mean, there's this kind of stuff too. So I'm sure we'll talk about
I
that when we
will
get
say
there.
this, going back to the trailers, and I know you're a big Star Wars guy, Chris, and so am I, and And everybody loves a good trailer, right? But yeah. We know when we go into a trailer, and we talked about this when we broke down the trailer, the From trailer. They put all these scenes in, but they're never in the right order, and they're never the way they should. But it's nice to see the scenes in context. And one of the classic scenes we're going to see from, I think it's probably one of the best lines. You know, in my first thoughts, not that, you know, I think the best episode ever of From was season 1, episode 8, when they invaded Colony House. Mm. I think that was hands down. Then maybe the first episode. I gotta tell you, this particular episode is creeping up to number 3 for me. That said, I know you wanted to get to daytime stories. Let's get to daytime stories.
Okay. So Victor wants to share something with Sarah. I'm not exactly sure why he chose Sarah to share all of this with.
Wait, he said why.
He did?
Because she's the scariest person in From.
Oh, duh. Yeah. No.
It's the most ironic thing because
I feel like she reminds him of his sister. I think there's that. There's something that and I think there's a connection that somehow, that because we haven't seen that much, only some little flashbacks of him, and it's about, I feel like he's got where she's like his sister. You know, like there's that feeling. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I mean, he puts a dig into her like right away because he's like, oh, me and my sister used to play in this house during the day. My sister and my mother died, but I didn't murder them.
Yeah. You know, like, I just want to be clear. I did not murder them.
I did not murder them. Unlike you. So he's trying to remember, like he's trying to go back to the last time that the town had a massacre, and he's trying to remember how everybody died. And so he's dug up this suitcase. I mean, when he showed up at the door, I thought he was moving in with her. I thought he wanted out of the Lou's house and wanted to live with her in that house. And I just thought that was odd. But when we get a better look at the suitcase, you can see the dry dirt on it. So it had been very... You're looking for it?
I'll get to it.
Okay. So... what he's saying is that he's seeing some of the same patterns that he saw before, and he's getting concerned, and he wants to try and stop everyone from dying this time. So he had a practice run. Now he's in it for real, even though it seemed like Ethan was being chosen for the part that he played when he was a kid. So I thought this was kind of an odd thing for him to say. He's like, they have to build a fort in the basement, which, you know, I'm watching the episode again, and I just thought maybe I will podcast from a fort tonight, but I didn't. But remember how much fun that was when he used to make forts?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, absolutely. Why do we grow out of that? I have all the stuff. I can make a fort all the time, and I just don't do it. You know, I don't think I'm living right. So anyway, he says that the basement is for daytime stories, but the bedrooms are for secrets. And that creeped me out. Like, what exactly does that mean?
Really? I don't understand why.
Okay, but I'm just like, I hope so, because I've got in capital letters, what is he saying? What is he not saying? So I was wondering if the boy in white told him he was going away again and that he would be back for the next cycle, like when Victor was still a boy and the boy in white left for a long time and didn't come back until now. And I wonder, you know, how long exactly he was gone, you know, because Victor talks about him being there while he was alone, but then he was gone and he was mm-hmm. alone, you know? Yeah. So I thought, you know, like, why would they build a fort, or why would he build a fort? And I was like, ah, because a fort is for protection. So you fortify yourself and you're going through all this stuff. And he, again, now I have it written down. He needs her because she's the scariest person in town. And, you know, it won't scare her, any of the stuff that he's going to pull out. And she is basically acting as his emotional fort so she can protect him. So he's going through the suitcase, and I don't know if you guys looked into it, but.
I have something that you want to. Yeah, just give me one. Just keep going.
Okay, so there were two pairs of sunglasses hanging there. It looked like there was a thermos, a cigarette box, which we saw. Let's see. A deck of cards, a purse, cigarettes, the flashlight, a kid's xylophone. I don't remember seeing any kids on the street dead, but regular glasses and sunglasses, and then a whole bunch of stuff that I don't really know what it was. So he starts taking things out, and the first thing he pulls out was Mr. Gerber's watch. I wrote water instead of watch. No wonder that doesn't make sense. But Mr. Gerber would eat all the onions out, you know, growing in the woods. And I'm just like, he must have been a joy to be around, you know. And then he pulls out Dolores's cigarette box, and there's still some. And the cigarettes look pretty fresh. I don't know what happens to cigarettes over time. But there were pearl earrings. And that's when Victor kind of felt like it went too far at that moment. We do get a flashback with Christopher. And he's sitting there. Let's see. Because Sarah asked who Christopher was. And Victor says he was our friend. And he used to make us laugh a lot.
Problem.
What?
Until he went batshit crazy about the symbol.
Yeah. Much like Jade is doing right now, you know? So this is when Victor abruptly stops, and we get this flashback, and Christopher is sitting in one chair, and the dummy is sitting in the other chair, Jasper. And, Jasper is speaking on his own and having a conversation with Christopher.
Basically my worst nightmare ever.
You think?
The worst nightmare. I saw that. The creepiest thing in this entire episode was that for me.
Was that, yeah. That they could have done an hour of that. I'd be sitting here like, blah, blah, blah. Oh,
yeah.
I did not like that at all. And then they're fighting, like Jasper is yelling, they're yelling at each other. And I'm like, wow.
They're having a big debate.
Yeah. Trump, Kamala, like, you know, never talk about that with your friends. Right. So, what I kind of don't understand, like, if they were flashbacking to that, one, was Victor watching? I'm thinking he was. But if he saw what happened, he probably knew what Jasper was saying. So maybe Christopher sounded like the crazy one and Jasper sounded normal, even though you're thinking Chris is voicing him, right? I mean, ventriloquist dummies have never been my favorite thing. Ever.
I don't think anybody thinks the dummies are actually fun. They always think that they're like bad because they are.
But what they about are. The people that actually use them?
You know what they are? They're batshit crazy.
They use it to work out their inner monologue, their inner thoughts. Well, it's the puppet. It's the dummy.
I can't.
It's the split personality. It's all the stuff that they can't tell anybody else, but it's okay if the dummy says it.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Fletcher says, I'm freaking out when Jasper was speaking with Christopher. That connected immediately to me. It's Thomas in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Maybe that's what it was. Like they were voicing. Jasper.
This entity, the entity seems to be able to be people who passed away, take on different forms, speak to people and imitate voices. I mean, it's can pretty much do anything to emotionally really screw around with everybody and to get them broken and to break them. So then that way it's easier to pick them off.
So just to keep everybody on task, we're talking season 3, episode 4, There and Back Again with Lizzie and Chris. And we're talking about Thomas the dummy / Jasper the dummy. And I think we're the dummies at this point because we don't know
what feeling like a dummy.
Yes,
the
Chris.
One note I wrote down during that monologue, by the way, I do want to point out something too, just from an acting standpoint. I thought Scott McCord's acting in this scene was outstanding. Like
he's always outstanding.
I know, but there was this scene in particular I felt was just really, I really felt like I wrote it down. I go out of this season, like this part was really pulled out. I think his acting chops really highlighted how good of an actor he is. So I wrote that down as a note. The other thing I wrote is that he said a few things like things are changing, all that. And it just sounds like the town is going through a reset. I wrote down town reset.
Okay.
And I don't know why, how, when, but it seems to me that the town is going through some kind of a reset. And I don't know if that's because the ambulance was coming in and all that. And it knows things are changing because now Tabitha has new information and his dad's kind of like, so I don't know if that's all connected. I'm sure it is, but that's why I wrote down, especially when he was like trying to measure the trees again. He's like, the trees are moving. And so there seems like there's a reset happening.
I will say this.
Glitch in the matrix.
We're going to be talking to Scott, AKA Victor, this week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll have that out probably for Sunday or whenever, we're allowed to do it. But
tell him he's the best actor on the show.
You know what?
Oh my God.
He should be nominated for an Emmy.
He was losing it. Like when he was so emotional, like he had a couple of really amazing scenes. Like he just blew me away.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of great talent on the show, but he just stands out every time.
Well, first off, he's a member of the Actors Studio, so he's no schlub.
No.
And the second thing is, what you may or may not know, Chris, when we first interviewed him, he had told us that his role was supposed to be killed off by the end of season 1.
Ooh, oh, wow.
And they pulled back for the reason that he did such a good job. Wow. And I'm saying right now, him and Liz Saunders should be up for Emmys.
All the time.
This is the show that everybody should be talking about that nobody's talking about.
Yeah,
I go. There's just not. Yeah, it's not enough buzz about the show, and it's the most interesting thing on TV. So,
yeah, it really is. And like, I just forgot what I was going to say, so never mind.
It's all right.
We're just cutting each other off. But I will say this: the chat is like going nuts here.
I love it.
I'm gonna try to pick out a couple of things.
Yeah, the chat's active.
Yes.
I'm ready to go over to Food Truckers whenever we're ready.
I will in 1 second, but I just want to backtrack to some stuff. Victor roasting Sarah, it really was.
That was good.
Show does have some funny moments.
Yeah.
And
but I didn't murder them.
I mean, no, I'm just saying they do have their extra.
Unlike you.
Why is this not okay? So the actress playing actually was nominated for an Emmy. Yes, I know. But like I said, Tabitha, well, she was also nominated for an Academy Award as well for her other works.
Mm-hmm.
But my point being is, I think the principle of Scott McCord slash Victor and Donna slash Elizabeth Saunders. I think they're the ones that are going to come out of this as the superstars. We're going to say, ooh, where we knew them when. You know, the basement was where his mom kept the paintings, and those were where all the secrets were. I mean,
but the secrets are on the second floor, in the bedrooms, though. So the basement to him is where, I don't know. I think
John I don't like this theory, and this keeps coming up, and this is just like the whole Ethan is Victor, Jade is Christopher, Tabitha's. I don't think that's. I don't think there's a lot of cohesion with the whole Victor Ethan thing. I think that they're married in some way, but I don't think it's that simple.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm not saying, oh, here we go. Somebody doesn't like you. No, Lizzie, the stuff is from Bill was in the basement, not in the room. Okay. All right. Let's press on to,
he and I are not talking about the same thing.
All right. Let's go. Fruit checkers.
All right. So at any rate, they don't show Dale in this scene at all. Jade is sleeping while, while Christy and Kenny are kind of chit chatting. Kenny's writing a letter to his mom. And Christy's just kind of laying there in agony, waiting for the pain to die down. So at any rate, they're sleeping in one of the cabins. It could be the same one that Jim and Kenny were in before. We don't know. They've got a nice little fire going. It actually looks pretty cozy.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. I was like, I wouldn't mind being there. That's okay. So Kenny, you know, they talk about, you know, the letter is like on high holidays, they write to their dead relatives. And Kenny is just like, the only two people I want to talk to are you and my mom. So, and she reminds him that, you know, she's still there for him to talk to. He's not alone. And at this point, Jade is like, would you guys just shut up? Just shut up. You know, and so he asks them if they want to hear something crazy. And Jade has just been all sorts of crazy, you know, for almost the beginning since we meet him. And so he talks to them. He tells them that he's hallucinated something and that he's been hallucinating since he got there. And he's hallucinated the guy in the root cellar. Remember who was pinned under that big rock, that boulder. He hallucinated the Civil War soldier. And it made me wonder if Jade is crossing into their timeline. Like
time slip.
Like especially with the soldier. If he sees some weird guy show up in his where he is, he's probably, you know, and he's in from and he's got all his comrades up there on the tree branch. He's going to shoot at him, you know, and want to kill him. So I think Jade may be crossing over, but he hallucinated Christopher, which I basically almost forgot about until I was making this list. And then he hallucinated the impaled guy. And with these four people, I'm going to go back against something Chris said. Maybe Jade is actually the new Christopher, who was the new Civil War soldier, who was the new guy in the root cellar. Maybe they do fit into these characters in the town. And I'm not looking to go expounding on that greatly. It wasn't until you said that, but maybe they are these archetypes in a crisis situation like this town, you know? But yeah. I'm very, very, very loosely married to that, meaning I will date.
I will say this, going back to the scene that hand with Jade and Christy and Kenny. First off, I think what they're doing with Jade is beautiful. I think that, you know, it's a fine balance that they're giving him between crazy and
sanity.
He's had some of the most emotional scenes in the whole show.
Yeah.
With Mrs. Liu. So, I mean, what's your thoughts, Chris, about the whole Jade in general?
Yeah, I mean, Jade is, I mean, listen, you got to go all the way back to thinking, like, why is the town picking certain people to come to the town?
Yeah.
So the town picks people. I don't know. We right now, the big mystery is why? Why? And so,
or obviously,
why those people in particular? Right. And then it seems now, as we're going along, that then these, and to your point, Lizzie, is that these people are starting to become these roles within the town that seems to be on this cycle of sorts, whatever this is. Jade is interesting because he is one of the few people that sees some of the things that not other people can see. And really, everybody in this town sees things, like, but he's seeing stuff that not everybody else can see, like the symbols, like the Civil War, soldier with the face, and then the guy that was impaled, and, you know, and even, you know, and I told right before you came on, I was telling, I even forgot about this. He met Jasper. Like, he met Jasper in season two, episode one.
Oh my God, that stupid dummy. Yeah.
Right.
Like, but he met Jasper. Just now. Like,
right. And where the heck is Jasper? Like, where is Jasper? Which is, I'm sure they're going to get to, since he's like, that's the one thing that's missing from the case.
He was in the tunnel. Last season when Sabrina, Tabitha.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, he was in the tunnel. I remember with
the wagon, and the whole bunch of
horse, so that's where he is. Horse, yeah.
The rocking horse that was in the basement at Victor's house, you know, his family. You're right. Home.
I completely forgot about all that. So
yes, you're right, Fletcher. He was in the tunnel along with the wagon and a bunch of other things as well. And that freaky Akui thing girl, we think. It wasn't Akui girl.
Oh yeah, that's right. The Akui. Yeah. So I mean, he's Jade's an interesting guy. And here's the thing is like, and somebody made a comment about, we're going to hear John said they need to have nightly meetings where everyone says what happened. They just have a rule, no matter how crazy, just let it all out on a table so we could figure it out. And it's actually pretty funny because I just did an escape room this weekend. And one of the things that we were talking about strategizing is, listen, someone needs to be sort of a project manager when you're doing the escape room, right? Somebody who's not involved in solving the puzzle, but is there to be like, what did you find? Put it on a table. Let's all look at it. Oh, we found a lock. This lock needs four. Like, somebody who's not involved, but like, when something is found, okay, guys, we found this. Let's bring it here and let's now. None of that stuff is happening. And that's where it's like, what some point is the stuff that Jade's working on and seeing going to fit in with what somebody else is seeing and doing, and like how it's all going to interlock to like solve the puzzle, you know, solve the mystery.
To your point, Chris, see, we've asked them as well, which they can't answer, but season one has proven that they want everybody scared.
Absolutely. Cause that's what the entity feeds off that.
And, you know, season two, it proved that, you know, or I should say the end of season one into season two prove that they don't want them working together.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
And you talk about the Matthews, they're trying to pull them apart. And the more they try to work together, the more the shit is hitting the fan. And it's just a very, like you said, it's
even the separation of like Colony House, you know, they're their own thing. And then the people that actually live in the town, even though they help each other out with the food and stuff, but it's not, it's still an us, the Colony House people versus the people who live in the town. And it's still a lot of us versus them and like not truly coming together to solve the mystery. And everybody is scared, which then, you know, and I know we're going to get to it, but then Donna has the breakdown and she says, she's scared. She's terrified. I don't blame her. Like, people have a breaking point. And I think from your video last week, when I watched, she's been there the longest, right? If that's Is that, do I have that right from what you had?
Victor
is the longest, but Donna. Victor,
Cliff, Donna. Cliff has been there
I
longer.
I should probably just keep this like right next to me when we record. But
yeah, you should take a picture Victor, of it, and then that way Donna, you can bring it right
Christy,
up.
Boyd, Fatima, I mean, not Christy,
it up Cochrane, to the screen.
Christy, Sarah. The Lou's came in somewhere between Fatima and Christy. Matthew's family and Jade, and then the bus people.
The bus people.
So,
and now the ambulance people, which is really just
now
the cop.
The ambulance people. We don't know the name of the cop yet. So,
We do, but I forget her name. But she was actually on Why the Last Man. That was her big. And
I'm talking about her character name, not her.
No, I know.
Name.
She did say it. I just I gotta look it up. But we're gonna actually get her on because I've been talking to her.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So what I thought was interesting, because he did it again twice this episode, Jade has mentioned Mrs. Lou making him tea 4 times. Foa. Mm. And I'm wondering what the point of that is. Because him saying that almost sounds like he's having withdrawals from the tea. Which makes me think that she was putting something in it, or
no, stop.
They are putting something in it.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying, you can't throw out anything because we don't know.
You know what it is? I think what it is the fact that he just likes, it's not just about the tea. It's about the whole thing because he's
in the tea.
Okay, so first off, it's Officer. Here. Let's first do this. That's her name.
Okay, Acosta.
Acosta. That's first. That's her name. Secondly, the whole thing about the tea. And I'm sorry if you don't like what I have to say. I don't want to hear it because I'm done.
Not going to be done.
No, the thing about the tea is it has nothing to do with what she's putting in it. It has to do with the fact that she reminded him of his grandmother. And it was just comforting, and it was just she took him in, and she understood him, and even though they had separate languages, they understood loss, and they bonded over it. Mm-hmm. And tea was the catalyst, but if you want to think there's something in the tea, fine.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in the tea. I just think it's just, you know, help people get together and drink coffee. They drink tea. Tea is calming. If anything, she has got a special tea brew that helps with the anxiety of things and, you know, calms the nerves. Like,
that would be nice.
Maybe it's the good stuff in the tea. I mean, they are growing, you know, the devil's lettuce up at the
devil's house. You know, there's two words you really never hear.
Oh my gosh.
So she's making that special herbal tea. So maybe she is, but it's the good kind of tea.
We need to do a special from Song Swap Showdown, I think.
Yeah.
You know, crazy devil lettuce songs. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Mrs. Lou was a plant dosing everyone with their special potion brewing in the back where she's a witch. It's confirmed.
Well, John, thank you for confirming that.
Mystery solved. There you go. She was a witch.
There we go.
Oh, wait. Oh, he doesn't even know what the T theory is. Fletcher, you've had to be listening to our podcast. You have to go back about a year when Lizzie revealed that the whole entire thing has to do with her pancakes and her tea, and everybody is just on a really bad trip. And then Victor's father proved that it is a trip because – once they dropped acid, all hell broke loose.
That's right.
Yeah.
Somehow it opened up a
portal. Anyway, we are talking season 3, episode 4, There and Back. And that's a good reason why, because there's something in the tea, because they went there and they went back.
To close out the food truckers, there's banging on the walls of the cabin. And just like the last trip out, innocuous, you know, just like, hey, I'm out here. And it it makes me wonder if it's someone just reminding them that they're not safe. You know, like it is part of the game. Like when, yeah. when Boyd and Sarah ever got dragged in the tent, that was like, oh my God, you know, a really big, oh my God moment.
I believe more in the tier theory than the aliens. I love that.
All right. Oh gosh.
Window shopping.
Window shopping. I got to find it. Where did I put it?
I don't know. So Boyd decides that he wants to go in the bus with.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Window. I have the wrong number there. That's why. So Boyd and Randall, you know, Boyd wants to spend the night in the bus so he can, you know, check out the monsters, see what he can learn about them so that, he could capture one of them, which I mean, I get it, but I just think that idea is a horrible, horrible idea.
Yeah. Let's try to catch one, Chris. You know, they can rip a cow in half with like their little claw things, but right. We're going to catch one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, so, you know, Randall, Randall's being his normal self. And Boyd is like, you know, I don't get it. Why are you in this bus instead of sleeping over at the sheriff's station, you know, relaxing alone inside? And Randall admits he wants to help. He saw some horrendous things that scared the crap out of him, and he wants to help. So Randall says, you know, because Boyd is like, you know, I'm trying to figure out their routines and patterns. And Randall's like, well, they've got routines and patterns. And the thing is, they haven't shown up yet when normally they would already be out. And he's, you know, he talks about one, like the nurse is the first one to stop, and she stands at the door and hums for 10 minutes. And it reminded me of the guy that hums when he pees on Friends, like the guy in the coffee shop. I you know, I watch it too much, but at any rate, and then she just walks off, you know,
I have a problem with this scene, and I have a problem with Boyd.
You have Boyd a problem with this scene? I like this. This is one of my favorite scenes.
What I mean by that is I like the scene. I have a problem with Boyd. Because you know something? He's a freaking pain in the ass.
Well, he's running hot because of – I mean, you got to – he just saw, like, Mrs. Liu ripped apart in front of his eyes. Yeah. Like, he's
– It was yesterday.
He's damaged.
No,
he's,
what I mean by
he's
that
got
is
– PTSD.
What I mean by that is, okay, Randall's an ass. We all hate Randall. He's like the butt of every joke, okay? But this is the thing that people are not understanding about Randall. As much as he's a total jerk, they picked him, they picked Julie, and they picked, I can never say her name right.
Marielle.
Okay?
Yeah, Marielle. Yep.
And they have information that nobody else knows. And yes, he's a team player. He's not a team player. He's just scared shitless, and he deserves to be. And
he wasn't until the cicada thing.
But what are they?
Cicadas.
Thank you.
Cicadas.
Not in Boston. Okay. Now, that said,
whatever.
Do you think Boyd would have sat down with him and just had the conversation? Dude, they had the conversation then, but it was more like, now you're a team player. Like, couldn't he have just said, do you see any patterns? Like, you know, throw the olive branch out.
I don't think that they've had time. Like, but I think that's part of the issue. They don't have time a lot of times. Like, it's just one.
But, you know, what I mean by that is you kind of gather information. And yeah, maybe he's a little like strung a little too tight, but it's like he's been on the bus for days. And it's like, what'd you see? And that's the thing.
What have you seen? Yeah.
But I mean, it just seems like it was, I understand why they did it the way they did it.
Yeah.
It's like for someone that is Mr. Loaves and Fishes and about resources, he wasn't very resourcey in this sense.
I think he's just not thinking rational. He's very hot-headed and he's got a thing for Randall. He doesn't like him at
Nobody
all.
Likes Randall.
No, but I mean, and you're dealing with Boyd, and he's very emotional. He does fly off the handle a lot, as much as he likes to think he's the, but he's not, and he's messed up, and he's got PTSD. I'm telling you, like, he's not the same guy we met at the start
Goats. Finding goats. He's not finding goats.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. He's not the same anymore. And having gone through things, and now the town or the entity has really targeted him.
Right.
So they really want that town wants to break him in the worst way. Like, and they're doing everything they can to break him.
It just seemed like he was so surprised when Randall was like, the nurse knocks for 10 minutes and this happens and that
because
happens.
He's not giving him any credit or the time of day. And then
he's like, dude, they should be here. There's something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
it's
all.
Because they know
no, and I agree. I mean, he should.
The ambulance is coming. Like, well, no, they're, they know that.
Well, they don't
know. Well, the creatures
the monsters know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The monsters know what's going on. That's why they're thrown off. And then, like, you know, then you finally see the ambulance coming at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but there was an interesting thing that he said there in that. And when Randall had said, there was a great line he said in there, like, you know, when he's going through the things that I've seen and all this stuff. And he said, there are things in this town worse than death or something along those lines. And that was like, to me, the big foreshadowing of like, you know, what would eventually, you know, what we're all thinking, which I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's what we're all thinking is him becoming a monster himself. Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking is like, there's things worse than death.
Or he becomes Martin.
Yeah.
By the way,
I was looking at pictures of Martin the other day, and it's really interesting because I got to go back and maybe we can add this to the video. He has got a hole in his head.
Yeah.
With a spike.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm just like late to the party or something, but.
Well, no, we talked about this. Like when we first met him. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I forgot until you just said it. But yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and we didn't at that point we hadn't seen Kelly impaled to the tree or this other guy impaled to the tree.
Yeah.
So apparently they like to impale people to trees.
Yeah, it's an easy way to play with their food.
Favorite pastime. Yeah.
All right. So let's press on.
So over to the ambulance.
Don't get me
started.
And
this will lead us into the arrival.
As an EMT.
Yeah.
I am like mortified. Those guys deserve to die. They're
red shirts. They're red shirts.
Oh my God. There is not enough red shirt for those two.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I felt bad for Tabitha because she's trying to tell the three of them.
Yeah, like, she's trying to save them.
I'm trying to save your life here. We have to go back toward the town.
Run there and cop.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and the thing about it is if she told them what was really going to happen, they would just be further certain that they should be driving to the psych ward. You know?
Yep.
So they come to the tree in the road, they get out and they're like, you know, to them, it's just a tree in the road. It's just, you know, Hosea Williams Street down the street from me, because after every high wind storm we have here, there is a tree across the road on that street somewhere. And so
I got some good pictures of this. I got to find them.
Okay. So, you know, the crows. It seemed like there were even more crows that time than when Tabitha came to the tree the first time. Right. And I got to ask, Chris, like, were you as surprised as I was? Not that you know how surprised I was that they were headed to front. Like, when they pull up and they see the tree.
I mean, when it ended last week and the tree was there, I was like, oh my God, like they're going. But the thing is, it made some sense because at first, how last episode ended with the, you know, with her freaking out and her thinking like, basically there's a glitch in the Matrix. I'm actually still there. This is just blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? And then the accident happens. And I was like, yeah, she's just freaking out. It's not. And then when that happened, I go, wait a second. This is actually a whole new dimension. Maybe she never left the town. I don't know. It's just so weird. And it's like this whole parallel universe type thing. I don't know. So when he pulled up at the end of the last episode, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And now, you know, and then this is just a continuation of like, you know what's going to happen here. They're going to be brought to the town. And it's like, why? You know, because Tabitha has information. But why is the town selecting to bring her back? Wouldn't the town want to keep her out? I think she
went to grab Victor's dad. Yeah. Because, like, I think that at least the two EMTs, it didn't matter if they made it to the town. So I think the people that had to make it to the town damage. Made it to the town, you know?
Right. But, and it's probably the boy in white is the one masterminding who comes instead of town. Somehow.
Why do you think him? Because he got them out?
Well, because he was the one initially. Yeah, he got him out. And, you know, the whole Victor with the box, with the address and all that. And it's like, everything is being set in motion.
Yeah.
And somehow the boys.
Because they needed more supplies and it's got a whole bunch of supplies.
Well, there's that too. It's got a whole bunch of medical supplies, which will be very beneficial considering how much people are getting hurt in this town.
Yeah,
definitely. And I still don't know, and the whole connection with saving the kids, and so there's a lot of nuggets they're dropping. It just isn't all it's the jigsaw puzzle pieces. They're all over the table. Most of them are not fitting yet.
So I want to ask in the chat as well as
their chat you guys. Is blowing up. I love it.
I know. I know I'm not doing as good of a job, but do you think the boy in white is good or bad, Chris?
My wife and I go back and forth on this all the time. He's part of the town, and for whatever reason, whether he's the full-on entity or is he an entity in a different, I don't think he's good. I don't think there's any good in this town.
I don't think so.
I think everything he poses is good because it's all meant to like kill people. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know, but I don't think he's good.
What about you, Lizzie?
I don't think he's good either. I just think that he's like a card in the deck that you pull that sends you off on a side trip to do something.
Side quest.
Yeah, side quest. I don't think he's. I don't think he's either. I think he's good just a guy bad. Host.
The one character in this that I find to be very intriguing is the Tilly character. I don't want to go too far off on a tangent, but Tilly character.
No, well, we can talk about Tilly.
I mean, Tilly seems to be not actually, I know she was on that bus and all that, but I feel like Tilly is something else.
She's not like the rest of them.
No, and I feel like she's just something else. I don't know what. I don't know if she's some kind of a different like manifestation of something. I don't know. But she has purpose in there, and I haven't completely figured it out. So if we're going to go good or bad, she may be the thing in that town that is actually some sort of a good force who got in to help these people.
Now,
I do
want to go to the next thing. If you're going to talk about Tilly, let's talk about this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not done with the ambulance yet.
Oh, all right. Let's get back down. I'm sorry. Ambulance. Sorry.
I just wanted to finish that, but So
there's a lot to unpack with that.
Yeah, there is. They've lost signals with, the signal, just like the Matthews phones, the cell phone stopped working. And then GPS data was unavailable. Where did it go? Oh, one of them remarks, like, they don't know how they ended up in the woods when they were just in the city. you know, like all of a sudden they're just driving. Like, that's got to be weird. You're driving in a city and next thing you know, you've got this big tree across the road. But Tabitha is saying we need to keep going this way. But I'm thinking they end up in town no matter what direction they go in. Yeah. At this point, they're on the road. On that road, they're going to end up in town.
Well, they kept saying that they want to turn around. It's right here. Da da da.
Yeah.
But they were never going to get around this tree.
I know.
Yeah. No. And just basically her saying, we have to go this way. We have to go this way. I think all along, like once they figured out that she was the one that escaped from the hospital, they've just been treating her like a psych patient.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Henry's been out of it, so they can't even figure out how he's doing. So anyway, go talk about your Elgin.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure.
I'll talk about my Elgin.
Talk about your Elgin.
All right. Let me get the right slide because
you just had it up too.
I know. Well, I left and came back and didn't do it on purpose, but that said, guys, okay. So we have got Elgin, and Elgin is one crazy, crazy guy.
And I get total shining vibes out of this entire storyline.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that needs a friggin' vacation from, it's him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs to take a Red Cross swimming course and stay out of the friggin' water. So we learn a little bit more about this creature. It looks less like Fatima in this.
Yeah.
View. And she says something to him. She says, help me. Now, what does that mean? Could this mean this is what they're going to turn into? Meaning Julie and Randall and Miriam. Or what's her name?
Marielle.
I'm sorry, guys. I just cannot remember that. I don't know what's going on with her but Elgin, but the guy needs to change his shirt and stop having birds fly into his life. And what's your take on this, Chris?
Well, like I said, it's giving me some major Shining vibes. And so the help me thing, you know, it seems to be, I mean, at least from the outside, it looks to be like some sort of, you know, your traditional ghost story, right? Like a spirit that's trapped there. But I mean, the thing is, this woman looks, you know, like she's been in the ground for a while. You know, she's very corpsey, mummified type look. So I don't know if she's like her body is somewhere hidden somewhere, but her spirit seems to be trapped here, like, you know, and he seems to be the only one that can see her, which is like why I keep going, it's like these major Shining vibes, like you know. But then again, it's like, you know, Jade's got the same thing, like there's only things that Jade can see, so
right,
it's crazy. So I don't know where it's going yet, but obviously it's leading me, and it's only here in the colony house, and only he can see her, right? Because I don't think Tilly can.
Nobody can see her. Yeah. Nobody else can see her. But what's kind of interesting is, and this is what while Miriam says, you know, the lady is a Chinese actress, which that's known, in a Japanese kimono, which is again very confusing. You know, John doesn't even like the whole storyline, it sounds like. Just find out what the problem is and, you know, just tell us already.
Well, yeah, I mean, my only biggest gripe with this show has been is that they're putting more mysteries on and they're solving mysteries, and they got to start at least wrapping some of these up before you introduce even more mysteries. Like, that's been my only complaint about the show this far, is that, oh, another mystery? Like, can we solve, you know... That's my only gripe, and I know it's all leading somewhere. So,
no, I'm totally with you on that. And I get frustrated with that too, because it's like, dude, what are we doing here?
Yeah, like just wrap one of these up. This, wrap this up.
So with that woman, the kimono woman, I don't know why I waited until now to look. Like there's types of Japanese ghosts.
Yeah.
And one of them, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's U-B-U-M-E, Ubumi, mothers who died in childbirth or left children behind.
Oh.
So that might be her. So, yeah, I mean, she looks like she was probably young when she died.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, so that could possibly fit.
Yeah.
So, before I forget, I made a note to this. I want to say hello to Catherine, who was on TikTok giving us a shout out. So I thought that was really nice. Are we ready to really jump into the arrival of the ambulance?
Let's do it. Okay. He's got to go. He's got to work tomorrow. You know, he's
Chris does.
Sleeping Beauty over here, and he's got
it's 15 in the morning.
Going down in only like 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't have a job, so I can stay up all night.
Yeah, well, we all have to like have things.
Yeah. All right, so Boyd and Randall see the ambulance coming in, so they go running out. Ethan sees it, and he yells, just like Tom has said, and, you know, they rush to the window because, I mean, it's pitch black there, so something coming through with flashing lights, that everyone's going to notice it. The Randall and Boyd run out as the ambulance passes them, and Ethan runs out of the house. Mm-hmm. Boyd catches Ethan and gets him back into the house, and Tabitha begs them to stop. She's in the ambulance begging them to stop, and they're just thinking, we're going to just drive on through, you know, because they don't know any different. They won't stop until they see the body of the teenage girl, the Bobby Sox, are lying in the street, which was pretty clever. Nice little trap for some EMTs, right, Alex?
Sure.
Some red-shirted EMTs.
Some asses.
Yeah. So the two EMTs get out and they go to treat her, you know, they go up with their boxes and everything, and they're going to look at her and see, you know, what's wrong. And
some asses.
They roll her over and she slashes one across the neck.
And then all the thoughts. Oh.
Yeah. Like, and from all, you know, from what it looks like, from what we see after the fact, they tend to like the organs. They like organ meat.
Ooh, yeah, they love a good organ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Tabitha tried to stop them from going out. She was like, that's not a person, but they're not going to believe that until they find out for themselves, and they find out the hard way. I'm wondering, because remember in the first, did we see more of the monsters in the first season, in the second season too, or did we just see their heads turn? Because like she stands up, she's still got the dress on, but she's got the bald head and the grill teeth.
Wait, hold on one second. I can show you what she looks like. Yeah, she.
No, I know. I'm asking if they
right. If we saw more full of if we saw more. I feel like they would give us certain ones because obviously it's a, you know, it seems to be a very expensive, from a production standpoint, change.
They threw money into it this year.
Yeah, they put more money into it. So they're changing
left and right now.
Wondering if we saw more of a body previously. I thought we did, but I'm not sure. I think the closest look we got was when the face came up behind Cotri.
Yeah.
Like that was terrifying. Terrifying when that happened. And we only got a hint of it with Bob. I mean, yeah, not with Bob, with Frank. Let's see. And the screaming, that screeching, they can hear all throughout the town.
A mating call.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah. So the cop sees what's good, or Tabitha's getting more agitated. The cop handcuffs Tabitha to, you know, on a bar in the ambulance. Boyd is telling the kids to stay in the house. Tabitha tells Henry that they're in danger. Oh, they're in real danger. And they hear the screeching. Jim opens the door, and it was like, my hair, you know, that he found her. And I thought that was the most relieved that Jim has looked in 3 seasons. That one moment, you know, finding her. And then they realize, like, Boyd doesn't have the key. They need to get her loose for obvious reasons. Randall has a toolkit in the bus, and he goes to get it. Now, then they go up to Colony House, where one of the guys is ringing the bell saying there's a runner on the hill. And
he's a dick.
Why?
Because he's the same guy that's basically saying, oh, we can't open the door because...
He doesn't want to let anybody in.
Well, there's always one. He's a selfish.
Told me nobody comes in.
Yeah.
And he was probably like waiting for the night that he'd be able to ring that bell, you know? So Nikki looks out and sees that it's a cop. I'm sure they can see, like, the cop is out there, and the bride, she's got the bride in front of her. And then the bank president comes up, you know, between her and the house when she shoots at the house and gets Nikki, but doesn't, you know, but she missed him entirely. The thing that I don't understand is that given the proximity of the town to the house, that they didn't hear all the gunshots going on to begin with, or maybe they did. And that's why they were on lockdown. I don't know.
They were partying. It was 1999, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, like they usually are.
That's what they do.
So it was the bride, the screeching girl, the cheerleader. Like, they were all there for the party. So Marielle, you know, attends to Nikki while Bhakta helps the cop. And let's see, Clara brings her in. Oh, Bhakta's helping with Nikki. Sorry. So they get supplies so that they can treat Nikki. Let's see. Who's saying this shit is real, isn't real? Sorry. But anyway, Donna wants to know if there's anyone with the cop. Like, can you, like, did you see the way when she comes in the house and she sees all the people? Mm-hmm. Like, there's this big party, you know, and they're all just standing around. It was just this weird entry. I mean,
I was shocked too.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are all these people? I mean, you know, I mean, look what just happened. She was going on a normal routine call as far as, and then now they're rooted. And when then all this, she just watched these EMTs get eviscerated by these monsters and she's shooting them point blank and nothing like, there you go. PTSD. You know, like, it's just, what is happening?
Like, you know, I was a little upset with Boyd again, you know,
why?
Because,
he flew off the handle really fast.
What's that?
He flew off the handle really fast.
Yeah. It was she's brand new to the friggin' place. She's shooting and it ricocheted or whatever. It hit the girl with the bathroom girl. And, you know, Nikki. And, like, come on. Like,
bathroom Nikki.
It's not like he hit Dale or Ellis. I mean, come
on. You know what I was thinking, too? Like, when we were looking at the two ambulance guys, the EMTs. Right. I remember how angry I would get watching The Walking Dead. And it was almost like every scene was a night scene. And you couldn't see anything that was going on. And I'm watching this and I'm like, I can see everything that's happening. So that was just my little gripe. But anyway, sorry. So we go back down to town, and Randall comes up, and he's got the kit, but all the monsters are standing between him and the ambulance.
Mm-hmm. And then the scene we've been waiting for.
Right.
Yes. So he throws the kit to
Boy. Oh, to then to Jim.
Yeah, to gets it to Jim so he can get Tabitha. I keep wanting to call her Sabrina. Gets her free. But anyway, you know, Randall says, "Don't forget me. Don't leave without me." Right? He gets the keys from the waitress.
Yep.
And then hightails it out there.
Well, you know? He said, no, it's not like he just hightailed it out there. She said,
she made a trade.
Yeah, she traded. Yeah. It's like, we're keeping Randall.
Yeah, keeping Randall.
And the cicada stuff started happening. Like, the minute he left, he went back to the bus.
Yeah, the cicadas have always been there, I think.
Right, but it really got aggressive.
I mean, he spends so much time by himself. How often is he having these hallucinations? Like, I don't know if they're hallucinations or if they're real.
Right.
Well, I mean, who knows in this town?
Yeah, it could be either way. But if they're real, he's the only one that's really seeing them. Mm-hmm. But they're super real to him.
Yeah.
It's just, I kind of felt bad for him.
Oh, I felt so bad for him. He just got a raw deal. I mean, the guy's a dick, but he doesn't deserve to be tortured.
No, not like that. I mean, the whole thing, I think, is the whole premise of this is to break Boyd. And like this entire season, you know, they're going to fucking break Boyd. And I don't want to see it, but, you know, we're along for the ride. And she stands there holding the keys out and saying, you know, you can't save them all. I wonder if the choice would have been different if it was anybody else.
Here's a good close-up of it. I mean, how freaky is that?
Yeah. And she's smiling because she knows she works for tips.
The actress, Terry, we're going to actually get on. I was talking to her. She just came from vacation. And talk about an icon. There's a bunch of iconic lines. You know, there's Jasmine, who had a couple of iconic scenes. And this woman now is pretty cool. But
you can't save them all.
You can't save them all.
Can't save them all.
It's just like he didn't even think about it very much. We can't save them all, but we get to keep Randall. And he grabs the keys and jets, you know?
I'm getting some shit about Randall. You know, we tied her to to a tree and everything else. You know what? I'm going to say this. Nobody knows what you would do if you were in Frumville. And it just gets kind of crazy.
But he did not have to tie Donna to a tree.
He's crazy. I'm not saying he's not crazy. But nobody deserves it.
The two of them just did not hit it off, you know?
No. Not at all.
All right.
Yeah. So I just loved all of their smiles when they were standing over Randall. It was like at the end of Titanic when Rose finally shows up on the staircase and everyone's smiling at her. So Jim says they have to go. Boyd grabs the keys and gets in the ambulance. And then Randall hears the engine and tells Boyd not to leave him. And I'm like, I felt really bad. You know, because I can't imagine, I don't want to know how scary that is in reality.
I don't know, but, you know, like I said, it's not something I want to deal with. I felt bad for him because I think what they're doing to him, it's going to be interesting to see what their end game is with him. So do you have any phone? I'm sorry, Chris. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, obviously, you know, it goes all the way back to that bus scene. Like, they're stalking him. They're watching him. It's more than we just want to eat him or kill him. Like, the whole stuff with the cicadas and this, like, he's one of them, whether he's going to become a monster or somehow serve the town in another way, he's becoming part of the town. I don't know. Right. Somehow, some way.
Yeah.
All right.
And so we're back up at the house, and Marielle is treating Nikki for the gunshot, and they go and get her all the tools and stuff that she needs. While Jim is in the ambulance trying to get Tabitha free, and he's got the tools, so he manages to do it. Let's see, everyone's looking at everything going on, and Donna is getting the picture that a lot has happened in town. And the ambulance shows up, they get out, they go into the house, and the cop finally unlocks Tabitha, because now she knows Tabitha is not a psych patient. And then Tabitha and Jim goes upstairs. They go upstairs to a room, which I don't know why they had to do that. I don't know why they couldn't find a spot on one of the couches. But, you know, when you skipped ahead to the Elgin and Tilly thing, I thought, how could I miss all of those notes on that? And it's because it hadn't happened yet. But my question was Elgin asleep when, because I mean, when he asked if he's awake, you know,
he asked Tilly that.
He never answered.
Yeah. And she just made a grunt kind of sound. But I made this little hexagon. Where is it? Right there. So you've got Tilly and then Elgin and then Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kimono woman. Like, is the kimono woman, does it have anything to do with Fatima? Because I know that some people are saying that that is actually Fatima. But why would an Iranian woman all of a sudden become Japanese or Chinese? You know,
yeah,
so.
I mean, I don't think it's Fatima, but here's the thing is, once again, if we start slotting in, do things happen in cycles in this town? And was that woman, like, is Fatima becoming whoever that woman was, in a sense?
Yeah.
You know, like, is she now taking the place of whatever that woman did? So, you start slotting in, like, this person is now this person that used to be in the town before they got there. Like,
right. All we're doing is playing shell game.
Right. And so, you know, and somehow I don't, you know, and did the same thing happen that one, and I see in the comments here, the kimono lady's wearing a pregnancy kimono. So is it the same thing that woman got pregnant while she was in a town and whatever is growing inside of her basically, you know, sucked her dry in a sense, you know, like, you know, like, killed her and then and all that, and this is the same thing that might happen to Fatima, you know, we're seeing, like, so, and to help me, she's trapped there. I don't know, you know, it's all this, once again, more puzzle pieces that are like see it but not yet, and so I think it's all tied in somehow.
It's the craziest puzzle. So Tabitha tells Jim that Henry is Victor's father. And that Miranda saw this place before she ever came here. Jim comforts her. She worries that it was her only chance to go home. And they're interrupted by Nikki screaming. So Nikki's been treated, bandaged up, and the whole thing. So she starts screaming, and then Marilee checks, and she's like, you know, it must be internal bleeding. You know, all of a sudden she's gushing, you know, blood out of the mouth, and she just kind of dies pretty quickly. And at that point, Boyd explodes on the cop and has to be pulled back. And then Donna drags him upstairs, and they go into her room, and you think that Donna is going to turn around and explode.
Right.
But she's actually breaking down. Like, this, like, if you think back to when the Matthews family arrived and how tough she was and how stern she was, and everyone kind of was afraid of her. And then Fatima has her 1 year anniversary and she's all like soft and lovey dovey and the whole thing. Like, you don't expect her to break like this. Like, she's the one breaking while Boyd is taunting them. Like, you can't break
and
me.
But she did it in private the way she should. So she does. So she throws strength. And the main thing is that, you know, she did it the right way.
Yeah,
that's for
she
sure.
did it the right way. But it's like, here's Boyd and her. Remember, like, when this all started, they didn't want to talk to each other. They kept their distance. She stayed up on the hill, you know.
Right, and they were separated. It was them and them versus the, you know,
everybody was, and everybody was happy back then.
Yeah,
true. It all worked.
As happy as it could be,
They're definitely not so much, but, you know, it's one of those things that hopefully, well, first off, everybody has their ups and downs. Everybody has their moments or whatever, but I really think that Donna will have her cry and then she'll be fine and she'll be back to her normal badass self. So, folks, what other points do you have, hon?
We still haven't talked about Randall showing up on the hood of the car. You know, we still need to talk about Randall and we need to talk about Fatima.
Yeah.
Right, let's get to it.
All right. So Nikki dies and Donna loses her mind. And let's see, she finally says that she's scared, which I think she's been wanting to say for a long time. Like, the attack on Colony House just like totally killed her world. It just, that was the end of it. So Ellis and another guy bring Nikki upstairs, set her on the bed. Fatima follows. And Fatima says she just wants to sit with her for a little bit, which I'm like, I mean, I know Nikki just showed up for this little story arc, but still, right. Like, that just was weird. Just weird. Nobody else? Like, we never see Fatima palling around with anybody, and she wants to sit with this girl. She ends up pulling, you know, unwrapping the blanket, pulling off the Band-Aid, which just the sound of it gave me the creeps, and then starts sticking. I know, she's like,
Red room.
Sticking her fingers in the bullet hole, and then I was
totally squirming. I was like, "Oh my god!" Like,
it was disgusting.
It was gross.
Yeah, and she was licking her fingers like they were whole bellied fried clams.
Yeah,
like it was sucking. That good. Oh my gosh!
All right,
so they end up. Donna and Boyd end up having a drink, and I think it's basically, you know, Boyd's guilt that's killing them. Yeah. So they see, they're standing there having the drink, and all of a sudden they can see flashing lights, and the ambulance pulls up. I mean, not the ambulance. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How did I get that wrong? They can't be having, oh, the lights start flashing. They look out the window. And there is
Randall.
There's Randall on the hood. And he is, I don't think he's mortally wounded, but I think he's pretty wounded.
Yeah.
Like, he's
wounded.
He's got some serious.
He's had better days.
He's had better days, but he's not dead.
Yeah.
Which is funny because just in time for that ambulance to be there to help patch him back up.
Yeah. Exactly. But remember, he said there are worse things than being dead.
Right.
And I think
exactly
seeing, you know, like being attacked by those things, that's what he saw. Some of what he saw. I mean, I would not want to be one of those things. That would be a bad thing, you know, but also being attacked and still living.
Yeah.
You know, does that mark you?
I don't know.
So that's all I have to say about that.
That's awesome.
I actually have blank pages now.
I can't believe it. It only took us 5.5 hours. So folks, that you don't have any extra booms that we should know about?
No booms this week.
Okay. So Chris, I know you're trying to almost stay awake here.
What is your
thoughts for our people right now?
This was another action-packed episode where we got more mysteries, no answers other than we really didn't get many answers. I mean, I don't think we got really any answers. We got more mysteries, more things to chew on. They gave us more pieces to the puzzle, which is nice, but nothing's getting solved, and they're just furthering in things. And we've also now introduced another new character into the mix, and having actual cop there, probably working with boy, like, it's going to be interesting now to see the dynamic.
Well, it's going to be interesting, more importantly, Victor's father.
Yeah.
This is the other thing, the reunion of Victor and his father. So
exactly.
That's going to be interesting. So, and how's that going to go?
Exactly. And there's a theory out there. Is it really Victor's father and all this other crap? But we're not going to get into that tonight.
Well, and he's going to see his son. The last time he saw his son, he was like, what, 8? Like
10. What, maybe 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. So folks, next week we're going to be talking season 3, episode 5, Light of Day. All I'm thinking of is the Bruce Springsteen song.
That's right.
Maybe great, you guys. He sang it, but it was really
Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. Thank you for that. Also, folks, if you guys want a piece of season 1, we've got our poster. You can go to our Etsy shop, which is What Is From Shop on Etsy. And we still have a couple. We're working on season 2. We're going to probably be doing a pre-order soon. We're just waiting on Kirk to give us a sketch of it. And then we're going to try to get that out as quickly as possible. And of course, if you want to support the podcast even more, we always have our quote unquote, it's not really a Patreon, but it's a Buzzsprout. You can support us that way as well. I want to thank you, Chris. I know you're a big fan of the show, and you're always welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
We'll try to keep it under 5 hours because somebody says that they do.
I'm making no promises.
Yeah.
What's that?
I'm making no promises.
I mean, Song Swap Showdown goes for almost 2 hours. I mean, we're
yeah.
Well, you guys can podcast for 2 hours. My butt ain't doing that. Okay. Yeah. Literally and figuratively. But I just want to thank you because I know I've been wanting a podcast with you for a while, and
this was great.
We need to swap things. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. I can't think right now because it's past my bedtime. But folks, I want to thank you so much for coming out. I know we got about 30 something people, but when it's time to go. It's time to go, and the bell's ringing, so you better get home.
Get you home. Let's go. Come on, get in your house. Let's go. Come on.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.